Some of the headlines on the Binary Research Institute website. Listen to this. NASA baffled by unexplained force acting on space probes. Giant stealth planet may explain rain of comets from solar system's edge. What's going on out there, Jason?
Well, you know, the standard theory of precession is something that's easily explained. It's basically what they think of it now is that it's the effects, the moon's gravity affecting on the Earth, and it causes the Earth to change its orientation in a sense called precession. This theory was developed before astronomers learned the solar system could actually move and has now been found by, like, the international astronomy community to be basically inconsistent. Ancient Oriental astronomers taught that the equinoxes, or precession, basically took place over 24,000 years instead of 26,000 years, and they explained that this was because we are orbiting a binary sun. And I'll explain this further in the sense that, you know, the standard theory is saying that precession takes 26,000 years for us to complete this cycle. And it turns out that it's actually, under these new models done by the Binary Research Institute, more like 24,000 years. Now, this becomes more interesting to me because now we have a number that's in alignment with ancient astronaut research, which is the 12th planet. And everything is a divisional breakdown astronomically from the Anunnaki teaching the Sumerians. Well, you orbit the sun, and it's a 12-hour, 12 hours a day, 12 hours of night. Mm-hmm. There's 12 months in a year. And they went off in a whole different direction with time, math, you know, 12 inches in a foot, 12 in a dozen. So time, math, calendar, all of this is a breakdown of 12 and 12 coming from the 12th planet. So it turns out if we have a precession taking place 24,000 years, a cycle, that's basically a split of 12,000 years ascending into the Golden Age and 12,000 years descending out of the Golden Age. So it's a very interesting piece of the puzzle to look at precession as a 24,000-year cycle, and each age of the zodiacal realm that we go through lasts around 2,000 years.
Right before now, the break, Jason, too, I was asking you about this star, this binary star, why we can't see it.
Well, so here's the part that I'm still, you know, learning and researching is the fact that the latest research model, you know, again, modeled by the Binary Research Institute, shows that our two suns are in an orbit. And as they approach each other, they speed up. So if you think of a model where two suns are orbiting each other, and as they come close to each other, their gravitational effects cause them to speed up. And then as they drift farther apart, they slow down a little bit before coming back around their loop, and then they speed up again. So it's a very interesting model that shows as the two suns get closer to each other, then the time it takes for precession to complete actually quickens. So this is a very interesting point to understand that, one, we are probably binary, and if we are, then that explains why there would be a difference in dates for precession not falling accurately always on the same date, meaning there's this conflict, for instance, with the Mayans and their understanding of 2012, where we say, well, their time is off a little bit compared to our Gregorian calendar. But looking at the astronomical calendar, the great year, if you will, which is this 24,000-year cycle, somehow all of the ancients, or a great majority of them, have knowledge of this cyclical pattern. And just like we make decisions, George, on the day and night cycle, I'm sleepy, it's time to go to bed. The second cycle, I'm going around the sun, it's going to get cold, it's time for me to stock up on food, it's time for me to plant my crops. We make decisions on these cyclical patterns. There's a third cyclical pattern. The great year of 24,000 years. Somehow the ancients all knew of this and recorded very esoterically at what point they made decisions or understood certain epochs of time that they were passing through and went to great lengths to record it on some of these monuments that are now pinpointing astronomical markers in time of this great year, a cycle happening astronomically that is repeatable.
let's go back to the theory of direct panspermia. What do you believe that is?
So when I first started my research, George, the whole idea of are we alone in the universe, there's so many questions to figure out. And if we look at just starting here on Earth, you know, we have such a petri dish of life happening here. One has to wonder, is there enough time for life to have evolved just on Earth alone? And there isn't. And so this really raises a lot of questions about our origins. There's been a funny analogy, which is, you know, for life to have somehow whimsically come together and formed complex amino acids and some type of life that can actually ingest nutrients and expel waste at its very simple, you know, core essence, life, for something like that to have sprung up automatically, you know, science says that at one point a lightning bolt struck some amino acids and life sprung into being. Well, I think that model is a little outdated. That's about as common as saying a tornado sweeps through a junkyard and correctly assembles a 747. I mean, I know you've heard this joke before.
Yeah.
The possibilities are just not there. So one of the ideas is that just like we see advanced carbons, bulky balls and such floating around in space, we see evidence for pieces of life on meteorites. Maybe it's very possible that a life arrived on Earth whole and complete. So the scientific theory of panspermia says, oh, well, we can explain the jump in life getting a jump start is that it came here already whole and complete, and then the evolutionary process began.
And it probably didn't take much to jumpstart it.
Probably not. You know, and really what I like as another interesting slant on that scientific idea of panspermia is direct panspermia, is that they actually created another scientific model to say, well, not only does life arrive here whole and complete, but it's almost an observable process that some other life force pushes life to evolve here on Earth, meaning it directs life to actually, you know, show up here and start its evolutionary process.
Why would it happened? As you know, the Zechariah Sitchin theory is they needed workers, they came here, they took primitive humans, whatever we might have been then, genetically altered us to get better workers, smarter people, and off society went, you know, on its merry way.
Right.
And do you accept that theory?
I do in a sense, George, that, you know, again, my focus on the Sumerian culture and their knowledge of the Anunnaki is pretty well defined. What also is very intriguing is the fact that, you know, looking beyond the Sumerian culture, even into older epochs of time, as we discussed sites like Göbekli Tepe in Turkey, or the Armenian Stonehenge, or various other places that we have this knowledge that shows advanced astronomy and mathematics. We also see basically transoceanic content. So it seems as if, you know, well before the time of Columbus, that there was contact taking place between the different continents. And this really starts to raise a lot of questions about how far back our history really goes and how it was possible that, you know, different cultures on various continents seem to have similar pyramid building styles. In Asia, mm-hmm. South America, the Middle East, they all seem to have the same style of buildings, as well as an understanding of precession and a knowledge of the heavens being broken down into 12 parts used as a calendar system.